Let's get it on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome John Diversen and his Progressive Big Band.
And that's what a Grammy nominee sounds like, friends. John DeVersa and his progressive big band. We're fortunate to have Professor DeVersa in the studio tonight. John, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very excited to be here with you tonight.
I am thrilled that you were able to make time in your schedule to stop by.
Oh, wouldn't miss it.
Okay, I'll accept that gratefully. Tell us about the piece to which we were just listening.
Well, you heard the vocalist was Renee Olstead, whom I've worked with for a good 10 years. I met her when she was about, I think she was about 15 years old, and she had a couple of records out on Warner Brothers working with David Foster, and I was her musical director for a number of years. And so it's been really wonderful to see her grow and mature. Now she's a woman, not a girl, and actually she's married to the pianist in my small band and on this record, Tommy King. So they're a power couple, and that of course was Good Day Sunshine, Beatles' iconic song that we reimagined and brought through our own lens once again with this record.
Okay, I guess we need to talk about this record, Kaleidoscope Eyes, Music of the Beatles, as reimagined by John DeVersa and his Merry Men and Women. This album has been nominated for 3 Grammys, Best Large Jazz Ensemble, Best Arrangement Instrumental or A Cappella for Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and the Best Arrangement Instruments and Vocals for Do You Want to Know a Secret? I guess we're going to have to play those tunes a little bit further down the evening. But let's begin at the beginning, as it were. What possessed you to do this?
Well, a lot of different reasons. The direct catalyst was a friend of mine that was a fan of the big band. We were playing a lot in L.A., and he and his business partner had bought the licenses to 5 of the old Beatles tunes. I think one of them was Misery, and I Saw Her Standing There, and I can't remember the other ones right now, but he called me up and he was so excited that he had made this deal. And he said, you know, would you please arrange one of these songs so that I can place it on TV or film? Because I don't have any big band arrangements of these Beatles classics. And I said, well, I'd be happy to, but you know, if I do it, I'm going to tweak it all out and I'm going to do it in our style that we play with the big band. And he said, no, exactly. I want you to do exactly like that. I want you to do your thing. You imagine it. You just use your own creativity and let it come out through your own lens. And I said, well, okay, that sounds great. And so I started thinking about doing one. And you know, I called him back and I said, well, why don't we just do a whole record? You know, since I get that way, once I start on an idea, I like to finish it all the way through. And it's certainly not an idea, a concept that has never been done before. It's been done forever. And that's what jazz musicians do, right? And it's the origin of you know, the jazzers. They take the popular music of the day and then improvise on it and find new ways to make it their own. And certainly with Beatles songs, they've been done every which way. And it was a bit of a risk to take these tunes and do that again. But I heard it in my head so clearly. I could really hear what I could do and what the band could do with the cast of characters that are in our band, what they might do to with this music. So we went for it. And the other part of it, too, was that I felt like, you know, we had been playing in L.A. for a good 10 years and had a wonderful following. We played at this iconic little club called the Baked Potato in Studio City. And we played there the last Sunday of every month and had a really wonderful following. But that was, you know, the extent of it. We weren't getting a lot of eyes on us beyond Southern California and California in general. So I felt like I needed to do something. It was a good time to try and get some eyes on us. So it seemed to fit that mold too, because I figured, you know, at least if it has some of this material that you know, you might check it out. Not in the same way, you know. At least you'll check it out, and then if I can get you to check it out, okay, then maybe I got you.
Just offhand, I'd say you got them. So three Grammy nominations. These are your first Grammy noms, right?
Yeah, they came all three at once.
Yeah, good things happen in threes. Mm. This is not your first album, obviously. I guess maybe we ought to back up just a little bit. I should probably have asked you to introduce yourself to my friends in Radioland, of course. I feel like I know you because I've been reading a lot about you. Mm. We had our conversation since you've come up. But please, John DeVersa, tell my friends, who are you?
I am John DeVersa, and I want to say my apologies to your audience. I'm getting over a little bit of laryngitis here, so forgive my scratchy voice. I'm coming out of it, but yeah, I'm a musician. I'm a trumpet player, and I play this electric instrument called the electric valve instrument that's played kind of like a trumpet. And I write, I compose, I arrange, and I come from musical parents. My dad's a phenomenal trumpet player, and he played for TV and film in LA in the 70s and 80s, and I was on Stan Kenton's band and played with Johnny Mathis on the road and everything else, everything in between. And my mom's a great musician as well, a pianist and opera singer and dancer and flute player. And so I came up with music in the house, and music as an inspiration in the house, and seeing the friends that would come over and hang out with my parents, they were musicians, and so it seemed a very natural thing to do, to talk about music and to play music and be inspired by music all day long.
I read that, you remember very clearly those conversations with your parents, friends, talking about music, and I'm curious, what did that do for you as a kid?
Well, it was both positive and negative. You know, a lot of the musician friends that were coming over, a lot of times the conversation would be about work and how it could be better, and how the working conditions could be better. And I saw a lot of frustration from these great artists that were hired guns, and they were playing TV and film and a bit frustrated creatively. So I saw that as a kid, and once I was aware of that, I knew I didn't want to have that kind of frustration if I was going to be a musician. And I also saw the joy and the love and the passion that these musicians had for their art form, and how they would talk about, oh, did you hear that last Earth, Wind, and Fire record, you know, and the pure joy of that. I'll never forget, and that was infectious, and I had that myself.
So there was never any doubt that you were going to be a musician.
Well, there were, as a teenager, I fought the idea. There was never any doubt, you're right, but I fought the idea for a while because I had to fight off some misconceptions and expectations that were false. I made the association when I was a kid that in order to be a musician, you had to be a starving artist to follow and be uncompromising in your dream and your art and your creativity. And so as a young musician, I did exactly that. I became a starving artist because that was my vision of it. But when I was in high school, I think, I remember being probably 17 years old, maybe that senior year in high school, junior year in high school. I just couldn't imagine doing anything else. And the love in my heart for music, I just couldn't transfer that to anything else. I knew if I did anything else, I'd be an unhappy, depressed human being. So that definitely didn't make any sense to me. So I went forward and said, hey, let's do this no matter what.
And the no matter what part, obviously it's working out pretty well for you.
Mm.
But you decided, okay, yeah, I'm going to go for this. And then what happened?
Well, a lot happened. Let's see. You know, after high school, I decided to stay in L.A. And go to college. And I had a number of wonderful opportunities to go to different schools all over the U.S., and I decided to stay in L.A. because I felt like, part of it was familiarity. I had my friends here, and we're not in L.A. now, are we? No, we're in Miami.
Sort of, but physically, yes, we're in Miami.
And I decided to go to a school that had no jazz program at that moment. And that may seem to be a strange decision, but I knew that the jazz gene was inside me no matter what, and I was going to learn that. And just by doing it and writing and playing, that was never going to stop. And if I was going to go to school, I wanted to study something I didn't know about, but still in music. So I studied classical composition at UCLA. And they had a few wonderful teachers there. And I really learned my fundamentals. The first couple of years I was there, we studied counterpoint. We studied, all of the foundational Western harmony, Western composition. And that's really how I think about everything, even now. And we found, we learned all these labels, all these names of theory terms that I called something different and with jazz terms, and then they called it this other thing, and it really made me think about it in a different way, So this is how Bach would think about it with figured bass or whatever the method may be. And it made me, start to hear things differently and start to write things differently. And so all of a sudden I had both worlds to draw from.
Code switching.
Yeah, exactly. But I wouldn't trade that experience for anything.
You left out in your introduction of yourself some other things that you are. And one of the things that you are is a person who works at the University of Miami. I heard something about that.
Yes, I teach over at the University of Miami Frost School of Music. I'm the chair of the Studio of Music and Jazz Department.
Yeah, teaches over at UM. Like I said, I heard something about that. But in that capacity, I suppose, you have a big event coming up on Thursday.
We do. We have a very special event as part of Festival Miami on Thursday night. Pardon me. And we're doing a tribute to Dizzy Gillespie. And Ignacio Baroa has been organizing us, and he's been just phenomenal in working with our students. And we also have special guest John Faddis coming to play the Dizzy role, and as he's done so many times. And also 90-year-old Jimmy Heath will be with us, and I can't wait to get to share music with him. Also, our fellow colleague and faculty member at Frost School of Music, Gonzalo Rubalcaba, who I've become very close with and I just adore. He's been so giving and generous with our students and his music. And also a fellow faculty member of Frost, Martin Bejarano, who teaches jazz piano in the jazz department. He's also going to play. I think that's everyone. And, of course, the Frost Concert Jazz Band.
Chuck Bergeron.
Chuck Bergeron was going to play.
Uh-oh.
But he actually is not going to be able to play that night. But we have an incredible graduate student, Lowell Ringel, who's going to step into his place.
Lowell. No pressure on you.
Yeah. One of Chuck's prize students. Lowell is fantastic.
My guest tonight is John DeVersa. He is a triple Grammy nominee and a couple of other things, as he's mentioned to you. Big performance coming up, part of Festival Miami, the Dizzy Gillespie tribute. John, I appreciate your willingness to share what's left of your voice with us, but I can hear it going, so I think it's time we listen to some music. Please pick a tune from this album so we can give you
goodness.
A rest for a minute.
Okay. How about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
That's right. And while I get that ready to go, would you tell my friends about the nomination for that tune?
Sure. We are very honored to be nominated in the category of Best Arrangement, Instrumental, or A Cappella.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, John DeVersa in the Igloo tonight. This is Evening Jazz. 1 minute now past 11 on WLRN and HD1 Miami, WKWM and HD1 Marathon. We're speaking with John DeVersa tonight and, of course, listening to his music from the Grammy-nominated album Kaleidoscope Eyes. We just heard one of those Grammy-nominated tunes, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So, all right, John, this is one of those things I always say. Where on earth did you come up with the idea for that? How did you decide to approach Lucy this way?
I'm not sure it is of Earth. You know, I'm not sure that John Lennon was on Earth when that came to him. You know what I did with all of these tunes is over a couple of months, maybe a month, I it's all a little fuzzy for me now, but I listened to the whole catalog of the Beatles in the middle of the night because that's the time that I had. And I put on the headphones. And I both listened as a fan, and I listened as a student. I analyzed everything, and then I felt everything. I went from the cognitive to the intuitive, and I just went all deep into it. And I read every interview and watched every video interview I could find, and just immersed myself into all of those recordings and that little short little time span. That was so magical. And then I just forgot about it. You know, then you let go of everything. You know, you try and control. Okay, I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do this tune. And I have this method for. I just let go of everything. And then the music would just come back to me through this other lens. And I would just hear it in a different way. And I could imagine all of my beloved musicians playing this this vision that I had. And so it came to me that way in little spurts. I would try and choose the next tune that we were going to play, that I was going to arrange. And it would just come. It would be a different tune. I would just start hearing the next tune. I'd start hearing the next tune and while I was still arranging the previous one. And I'll tell you an interesting story about one of them that was chosen. I was on an airplane. A lot of the arrangements were written on airplanes, you know, because that's the space and the time that I have. And I was sitting catty corner to somebody on the airplane, and they were watching this movie that was a real shoot 'em up, bloody, gory, you know, kind of flick. And I was thinking, you know, I wish that they wouldn't watch those kinds of movies on the airplane because there were kids right around and, you know, not great images to be looking at for a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old.
Or for any of us.
Well, that's true. And so I had the thought, I wish he would change and get off of that. And he did. And then I had the thought, well, I wonder if I can just control his mind. Maybe that's what, I mean, I was playing with myself with that idea. And I said, I think he's going to go to his iTunes and pick a Beatles tune. And if he picks a Beatles tune, that's what I'll do. And Tracy, so he went to his iTunes. And I'm not making this up. He went to his iTunes, and there he was scrolling through every Beatles record there. I could see them all. And I said, no way. No way. Okay, I promise. If he chooses and plays one of those tunes, that's what I'll do next. And he did. He went right to Here Comes the Sun. And he played it, Tracy, for 20 seconds, you know, about that long. And then he stopped it and he went back to his gory movie. But I knew that that was, you know, delivered for me. That was the next one I had to do. And so I did Here Comes the Sun next. And they all come in different ways, right?
We'll hear Here Comes the Sun very shortly, but I think this is the moment where I start to ask you about the spiritual aspect of your work.
Sure. Well, I do think about, you know, those spiritual ideas and frequencies and, you know, that's, I want to put out, I mean, that's the one thing about Beatles music, too. They wrote all of these rich, iconic songs about love and peace, almost all of them. And to put that out into the world, I think, is kind of a cool thing. And, you know, whenever I go and play music, I have an intent. It's like a prayer that I say to myself before I go and play, and I just want the music to go out and heal and enrich people's lives and frequencies, no matter what the tune is. And I find that whatever, no matter what the tune is, you know, I get that feedback back that it's affecting people in that way. And it reminds me that what we're doing as musicians and as artists is so powerful. And it really gives me purpose to push through laryngitis and the schedules and all the work that we do, because it's something much larger than any one individual. And that's what I want to be a part of.
Todd Barkin says, take care of the music and the music will take care of you.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
John DeVerse is here with me tonight in the Igloo. You have an opportunity to be in the house when John sends his fabulous message forth. Coming up this Thursday evening, 8 p.m. in the Gusman Concert Hall at the University of Miami as part of Festival Miami, the Dizzy Gillespie Tribute Concert performed by the Frost Concert Jazz Band with an all-star cast under the direction of John DeVerse. 7 minutes now past 11 evening, Jazz Real Tracy Fields here talking with John DeVerse, and we're going to keep it short tonight. I want you to be able to talk with whomever you need to speak with next. And it's going to be hard on me because I have so many things I'd like to discuss with you. I'll tell my friends in Radioland I've already asked Professor DeVerse to begin planning his return visit to the Igloo. But let's back up to this Grammy-nominated band. Somehow I missed it. Actually, I did see, well, of course I saw it as I was reading through the personnel. There are a bunch of musicians here, some of the names I'm quite familiar with. And then there's this one. There's this Jay DeVerse fellow.
Mm-hmm. That is my dad. And it's so special to get to share this with him. He flew out. He lives in Missouri now. And he flew out to be part of this project because I needed a fifth trumpet player. And I said, hey, Dad, you want to play? You want to do this? And he said, absolutely. because we did the record live, and all of the songs that you hear on the record are actually on video as well. So we did an 8-camera shoot with lights, camera, in action, and even some smoke as well. So you can see him back in the video. And the whole family is part of the band, really. I mean, the band is a family. We've been together. I started the big band in 1996, and a lot of those musicians have been with me in this pursuit, in this journey, all this time. And to get to share this together after all that time is really special. You know, we've got married couples. You know, Jerry Watts, the bass player, who is my dear, dear friend and brother, he plays bass, and his wife, Carol Houston, sang. She's in the choir. And as I mentioned before, Renee Olstead is featured as the vocalist on a couple of these tunes. And, of course, Tommy King, the pianist, is in my small group. And everybody else is a family member. We share all of this together.
And I want to ask the standard, oh my goodness, you've been nominated for a Grammy question, but I think it's time to give your voice another rest. How about we listen to Here Comes the Sun now?
Okay.
sun, sun, here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Thank you.
John DeVersa and his progressive big band on WLRN's Evening Jazz. John DeVersa in the Igloo spending a few minutes more with us. And once again, John, we're very grateful for you spending some of your voice on us tonight.
Thanks for bearing with me.
See, there.
Yeah, there it goes.
So no, we're not going to talk too much longer here. John, what did I say I wanted to talk about when we came back? I was listening to the music and I got carried away. That happens a lot up here. Oh, I know. That's right. This is a Grammy-nominated album, your first Grammy nominations. And let's see, I think what I'll do to preserve your voice is I'll just direct my friends to the AXS interview with Carole Banks Weber to find out about your learning about the nominations. But would you please tell us about getting this news and sharing it with the band?
Well, you know, of course, they all knew before I knew. I received so many texts and emails and phone calls that everything just exploded on that day. And they were so ecstatic. And it just is a reflection of the love we all have for each other in that group, because it really is, we all aim to serve the music and serve this collective idea that we're making music together. So I think it's just very, we're all so grateful.
And it's going to be a really big night for you, which is not to suggest that February 12th, the night of the Grammys, would not be a big night anyway. But in addition to the ceremony, you have some other things happening.
Yeah, after the telecast of the Grammys, we've been invited to play the after party, the Grammy celebration, right across the street from Staples Center at the Los Angeles Convention Center. So we'll play the full album of Kaleidoscope Eyes over there in the Jazz Corner, and it should be a blast. I can't wait. We're gonna dance our way all the way through, and Tracy, you know, it's so special too, because so many of my friends and colleagues are nominated as well, and I can't wait to celebrate with them. It's gonna be a party.
We are looking forward to it in spirit, those of us who won't be there. And for those of us who won't be there, I'll just go ahead and ask, any prospect of the big band coming back and performing this music in South Florida again? Because I missed it last time, and probably there's some other folks who would like to see you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have anything booked right now, because everything's pretty solid through May right now. But I would love to do something in the fall. And I'm not sure what the venue will be, but I'm looking into it. We'll do something for sure. We played the Arts Garage not long ago, and we played the open stage, actually, in Coral Gables with this project. And the very first performance of it was at Frost School of Music in Gussman Hall with the Frost Concert Jazz Band and Extensions. And we played it there before I'd even played it in L.A. And so... You know, they helped develop this music as much as anyone.
There are so many questions I want to ask you about working bicoastally and about your next project and this and that and the other thing, but we're gonna be cool right here. I am going to remind everybody that even though we don't have an opportunity to see you and the band doing the Kaleidoscope Eyes stuff, you will be leading the Dizzy Gillespie Tribute Band, or the Frost Concert Jazz Band, in a tribute to Dizzy Gillespie. That's coming up this Thursday night, January 26th, 8 p.m., in the Gussman Concert Hall at the University of Miami. John DeVersa, I'm so grateful that you took some time and, as I said, invested some voice with us tonight.
I'm so grateful that you had me on, and I do apologize for this
please.
This a quarter of a voice, but I hope you'll let me come again when I'm full of energy and full voice.
Yeah, let's count on it. As I said, start thinking about when you want to come back. In the meantime, what tune would you like to leave my friends with tonight?
Well, how about our other Grammy nomination, the Do You Want to Know a Secret?
Okay, and while I slide over and get that ready, here's that other question. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell my friends in Radio Land before we say goodnight?
I just hope that everybody checks out all the music from all the nominees this year. There's so much incredible music being made every year, and some of it is so much of it is not even nominated for the Grammys, as we know. And
yeah.
I want to thank you and all of your colleagues for bringing it to all of us, so we get to hear it, because that's really important, and you're so much appreciated.
That's what we're here for. Mm. And as I always say, when somebody thanks me for playing their music, thank you for making something worth playing. John DeVersa, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon. And, of course, we all have our fingers crossed for the
thank
Grammys.
You.
Listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, oh, closer. Let me whisper in your ear and say the words you long to hear. Oh, I'm in love with you. Oh, closer.